Jesus' name. Oh, we are standing in His presence. Oh,
let us sing it one more time tonight. Let's worship the Lord in our heart.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground. Oh, and I know,
yes,
there are angels all around.
I stand in His presence on holy.
One more time, we are standing in His presence.
Oh yes, we are standing. We don't know the ground. Oh, and I know that then angels all around. Oh, let us pray. Jesus, now. Oh, we are standing in His presence. Oh, no.
Our righteous Heavenly Father, we have sung with our lips this evening that we are standing in Your presence. Amen. And we know there are angels all around. Heavenly Father, we've gathered here this evening according to Your word that says, two of us shall gather together, You will be in our midst. Father, we know You are in our midst tonight. Lord Jesus, we pray, may You come and take preeminence of our services this evening. Anything that will stand an hindrance, an obstacle on the way, hindering Your blessing tonight, I pray, Heavenly Father, we bring under the blood. Yes. May You come mightily in our midst, Heavenly Father. Come and speak to us, O God. Your children that are not here tonight for one reason or the other, our pastor that traveled, we pray, Heavenly Father, may You be with him, O God. As we hand over this service to Your hands this evening, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are all welcome to the house of God this evening. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we read the scripture, I have some visitors in our midst to welcome. I have Sister Sephora Kazadi and her son Joshua Kazadi from Canada. They're in our midst this evening. Oh, that's us. God bless you, my sister. You are welcome. We have Sister Catherine Malewo from Congo this evening. Oh, that's her. God bless you, my sister. You're welcome. I also have Brother Jonathan from Maryland visiting for the first time. God bless you, my brother. And we have Brother Femi Adelodun in our midst this evening from Nigeria. God bless you, my brother. That is Brother Adele's younger brother. So at least you can put some attachment to it. As we remain standing this evening, let's open the scriptures to the book of St. John, chapter 16. St. John, chapter 16. I want to continue from where I stopped 3 weeks ago on the sermon on the new birth. I want to pick it up from there. So this is going to be a part two of that sermon. St. John chapter 16, we will read from verse 12 to 15. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, the scripture says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. You can please have your seat. I want to bring to our remembrance that this Saturday, God willing, we're going to have a funeral service for Sister Victoria's son that passed on. And if you want details of the place, talk to the deacons. If you were in the place we had a funeral for the last one, that is the same place. But in case you don't know, speak to the deacons. They will give you the details. And Brother Mike texted me and said I should say his greetings to the church. Amen. God helping us this evening, like I said, we want to pick up from where we stopped last time. We're talking about the new birth. And we spoke about the three stages of the new birth. We spoke about the fourth stage, which is justification, which during the teaching, I kind of brought it back to three parts, which is a conviction, the contrition, and then the desire to be changed. And then we also spoke about the second stage, which is sanctification. And then I think we stopped at the third stage the last time. God helping me, I want to try to conclude it this evening, time will permit. But before we go ahead, I want to say this, that you remember I made it very clear the last time that these three stages of salvation, it's nothing that you can do by yourself. Amen. It's all the grace of God. Amen. You see, the third stage here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the third work of God's grace in the sinner's life. You see, and in Acts chapter 1, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, from this verse, we conclude that Jesus Christ alone is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's only Christ that can fill you with the Holy Ghost. There is no preacher. There is no loved one that can give you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift of God to his children. Amen. He said, and this baptism is a baptism of power. It is a portion of the life of God coming to live in the believer. Amen. I hope you follow me this evening. This third stage is a portion of God coming to live in the believer. He said, what has it come to do? It has come to guide the believer into all truth. Amen. Please mark those words, not some truth, but all truth. Amen. That is why the prophet told us, say, complete obedience to the word of God entitles you to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not just some obedience, but total obedience. That's why you see the word of God is not kind of a suggestion to us as children. The word of God is a compulsion. Whether you like it or not, if it's God's word, you've got to stand by it. You've got to obey it. You've got to believe it. He said now, St. John chapter 16, 13 says, and to give them power over all the power of the enemy, and to be witnesses of him and his word. Amen. You cannot be a witness of the word of God without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you get that this evening? You cannot be a witness, a true witness, without the Holy Ghost. You cannot have power to live a victorious Christian life without the Holy Ghost. You cannot have power to live above the reproach of the world without the Holy Ghost. So you see, church, this evening, it's way more than just say, coming to church. It's way more than say, I repented of my sins. It's way more than say, I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than that. But these are processes that you have to follow to get to the main thing. We can find that even though Apostle Peter was called of Jesus Christ and was given the keys to the kingdom, yet we read in the Bible that Peter still denied Jesus Christ
three times before the cock crow. That is because Peter did not have the Holy Ghost yet then.
Amen.
Are you following me? He didn't have the Holy Ghost yet then. That is why he was able to deny Christ.
Yes, sir.
I hope you get that.
Amen.
But when the Holy Ghost came in, he was a different Peter.
Amen.
The same thing today.
Will you permit me to be free?
Amen.
You are not a Christian till you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, the amen is dying down.
You are not a Christian. You are in the process of being a Christian. That is why you don't stop at justification.
Amen.
You don't stop at sanctification.
Right.
That is not the end of the road. You have to get to the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The prophet explained to us that Judas was justified.
Yes.
Judas was sanctified.
Yes.
But where did Judas end up? Son of perdition.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost is only given to the elect.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a gift of God to his children.
Amen.
That is why I said at the beginning, there is no minister that can give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Listen. Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost then, so he denied Jesus three times. Is that because, he said now, he had to wait till the day of Pentecost in order to receive the promise of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost in his soul.
Amen.
I want you to please note the stressing this evening, in his soul.
Amen.
God helping us some other time, we're going to talk about the soul.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Amen.
Some people have the Holy Ghost in the spirit form. That is why you go to denominations. You find when the anointing is flowing, they are all in the spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost. Are you following me? But when they walk out them doors, there is no power to live a victorious Christian life because that spirit is on the spirit form.
That's right.
But when it comes in the soul, which Brother Abraham told us, the soul is the control tower.
Amen.
He called it the super sense. The sixth sense. He said, when that faith drops in there, then all doubt is out.
Amen.
I'm going to read you some quote this evening that you know the prophet said the Holy Ghost in you will lead you in the word.
Amen.
All the way.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will not make you accept a part of the word and leave a part out. The Holy Ghost will lead you in the word.
Amen.
All the way. And what is this Holy Ghost? Is Christ himself.
Amen.
And Christ is the word.
Amen.
We can conclude from here that a man can be baptized in water and be sanctified yet without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He can still deny our God and compromise his word. We need the Holy Ghost baptism in order for us to be more than conquerors.
Amen.
Are you getting that?
Amen.
You need the Holy Ghost in order for us to be more than conquerors with his word. We need the Holy Ghost baptism in order for us to be in tune with Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is that oil that makes the wise virgins qualified to go in the wedding supper of the Lamb. Those that are without the Holy Ghost will be left behind in the tribulation period.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting that?
Amen.
There will be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. The Holy Spirit is our power over the world.
Amen.
Now we are coming down home to ourselves now. The Holy Spirit is our power over the world, over worldliness,
yes,
over the flesh, and over the devil.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is our power over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil.
Amen.
He enables us to live daily for God.
Amen.
Daily. Making the word flesh in us.
Amen.
So if you say you are a Christian, You know what you are indirectly saying? You are a walking Bible.
Amen.
You are a representative of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Your actions is the actions of Christ.
Amen.
Your reactions is the reactions of Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost making the word flesh in us. It is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which had made me free from the law of sin and death. The baptism of the Holy Ghost continues the work of sanctification, separating us daily from the world and the things of the world.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in us creates us a hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
Of God. The Holy Ghost baptism seals us into the mystical body of Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, for by one spirit,
yes.
For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body.
Amen.
Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he said, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the believer thus becomes the temple of the living God.
Amen.
In the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you become the temple of the living God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you,
Amen.
Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. I hope you are following me this evening.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost goes right into the soul, moves the old nature aside.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost, when he comes in, he moves the old nature aside and takes control, governing our lives.
Amen.
Not according to the dictates of the old fleshly natures, but or our natural birth, but according to the dictation of the new nature, which is Christ.
Amen.
So when the Holy Ghost comes, he brings this subject, this body subject, under God's word.
Amen.
So if you say you have the Holy Ghost as husband, where do you stand? Not to love your wife. Where do you stand to think about divorce as your next option? Where do you stand, sisters, if there's a little upset in the family and the next thing to do is to dial 911? When the Bible tells us that we are going to judge the earth. And you cannot judge things among yourself and the next thing you dial 911. Where do you stand? You all are quiet on me now, right? You think it's just one thing to say, oh, I'm a believer. There's fruits that your life must bear.
Amen.
You see, this pilgrim journey that we are going on is not a sex pool. Do you know the prophet taught us that every great ministry has three pools? You know that? The first two pools are just to cause an attraction. To let the people know that something is going on here. Are you getting me? The word lays in that third pool. The third pool is for the rainbow. It's not for everybody.
Amen.
It's not for everybody.
Amen.
It's for some special type of people.
Amen.
It's for a special fish.
Amen.
It's not like a fisherman when he goes to the river and he throws his net. He is looking for something.
Amen.
That's a fish.
Amen.
So when the net comes, there are all sorts in the net. There are tadpoles, there are snakes, there are frogs, and there are fishes. For the fact that the fishermen saw everything in the net, it doesn't just dump everything away. There's a separating time. There's a time where he takes that net to the seashore and begins to pick what he wants. Anyone that's not a fish, he throws it back into the mud. That is what the word of the Lord is doing in this day.
Amen.
God's word is causing a separation. There are people that will come around the message, but they cannot go in through. Judas was around Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Many of you are looking at me as, what is he talking about? Well, I pray God give you understanding.
Amen.
Listen. The Holy Ghost goes right into the soul, moves the old nature aside, and takes control, governing our lives. Not according to the dictates of the old fleshly nature of our natural birth, but according to the dictates of our new nature. Our life become living epistles of the word of God, read and known of all men. The Holy Ghost also make the promise of God in Mark 16, 17 to 18 a reality in our lives. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
In my name they shall cast out devils.
Amen.
They shall speak with new tongues.
Amen.
They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Amen.
They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
Every true Christian, listen, church. Every true Christian ought to undergo these three stages of the new birth. For Jesus Christ himself said, except a man be born again.
Amen.
Jesus Christ himself made that statement. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
What does it mean to be born again? To be born again is not justification. To be born again is not sanctification.
Amen.
It's all process of being born again.
Amen.
To be born again is when that Spirit of God comes to reside in you.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost comes into your soul, that is when you are born again.
Amen.
And that is the end of your Christian journey?
No.
God bless you.
Amen.
That is the birth. There is now a growing period.
Yes. Amen.
Just like I said the last time, when you give birth to a baby and the baby is healthy, all that the baby needs to be a man or a woman is inside that baby.
Amen.
But the baby needs some growing up to do.
Yes,
and how does the baby grow up? By being fed the right food. How do you grow up as a Christian? Read your Bible every day and pray every day.
Amen. Amen.
You will notice some nature, some characteristics in you. But as you grow, they fall off. I'm trying to make even our children understand. As you grow, they fall off. Maybe you are the type that used to like to go to clubs. Maybe sometimes you still have that urge. Even when you try to go, the Holy Ghost will tell you, no.
Amen.
No. No.
That's right.
But there's going to come a time in your growth, you don't even have the urge anymore. You don't even have the urge of wanting to smoke anymore. You don't have the urge of wanting to drink anymore. There's a growing period.
Yeah.
Listen, brothers and sisters. If you've been a Christian all this while and you still fall to all those little things, check your salvation.
Amen.
Check it.
Amen.
Some people just say, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm still, he's just part of, it's my nature. Remember what I said, what I read? When the Holy Ghost comes, it takes away that Adamic nature.
Amen.
That sneakiness. So people are sneaky.
Yes.
Never straightforward.
Yes.
And they will tell you it's wisdom.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost will make you sincere.
Amen.
It will not make you sneaky.
Amen.
It will make you sincere.
Amen.
Sincerity is an attribute of Christianity.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I sit down and think, I said, thank God that God instructed the prophet to store these messages. Yeah. You think about it, if the messages was just in the hands of the ministers. It's what I tell you, you take. Then you depend on what I tell you. But God knows that's dangerous. So you know what he did? He made it available for everybody. Where you can go and study it out and find out if these things are true.
Amen.
That is why no matter who you are, a true child of God can never be deceived. We know where we are standing. Listen, every true Christian ought to undergo these three stages of the new birth. For Jesus Christ himself said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will love the Lord. It didn't stop there. Believe all his word. And with his help, obey it.
Amen.
Church, it's more than to believe. You've got to obey.
Amen.
What good is it for you to believe and not obey? And you will manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Don't try to have any sensation or anything to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do that. When the new birth has come, you are changed.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything to prove it. Your life proves it.
Amen.
As you walk, you are filled with love. You are filled with peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience. That's what you are. And the whole world will see the reflection of Jesus Christ in you. The whole world, we see the reflection of Jesus Christ in you. So look at the kind of person you were. And look at what you are now. See if there's a change. See if you have indeed received this life-changing experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. An experience that makes you spiritually minded. Not just religiously inclined. Check up with your relationship that makes you spiritually minded, that puts you with God to see if you have more emphasis on the word of God than you do to the church you attend.
Amen.
More emphasis on the word of God than you do to the church you attend.
Amen.
See if you really believe the word more than you do a man-made dogma or creed.
Amen.
He says, see if you are really living every day for the glory of God, giving him preeminence in all that you do.
Amen.
What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Abraham, what is the new birth? I'm reading from the Psalm of Christ is the mystery of God revealed now. This is a summary of what the new birth is. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
Revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
What did Jesus tell Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. What is this rock? A personal revelation of who Jesus is. I hope the Lord sink this down into our heart this evening. It's not just to say amen. It's for it to be revealed to you. At the marriage of Canaan, when there was no more wine, everybody there probably wondered, what can we do? Mary knew who Jesus is.
Amen.
Are you getting me?
Amen.
Mary knew who Jesus is.
Amen.
She walked up to him and said, there's no more wine. And what did she tell the people around? Whatsoever he says.
Hallelujah.
do it.
Amen.
I pray the Lord will open our understanding this evening. She brought the request to Christ. And she told the servants, whatsoever he tells you, do it. You are not meant to understand. You are not meant to try to make it work for yourself. After all, you are not the one that will bring it to pass. It is his word. He is obligated to bring it to pass. Mary said, whatsoever he tells you, do it. But thank God for servants that were well taught. Because not everyone is well taught. That's why before you come behind the pulpit, you've got to be well taught. You've got to know what you are saying. You've got to know it's not my own understanding. It's not what I think about it. It's what the word says, and it's final. Some people try to say, you know, I feel the leading of the Lord. If the Lord is leading you and it's against the word of God, drop it. I don't care how many experiences you've had. If you said God is leading you, I won't doubt. But by the time I begin to watch it, I watch the word. If you are leading, it's not according to the word. You are false. This word will always be true. Thank God for servants that are well taught. Jesus called them, say, put water in those pots. You think about it. We just told you we need wine. You are telling us to put water in the pot. What is the correlation of water and wine? If it's me, I'll probably say, Lord, it's wine. Do you hear? As sometimes we try to think we are bringing information to God, right? He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He said, put water in the pot. But thank God for faithful, taught servants. What did they do? They put water in the pot. If every servant of God will be like that today, we'll have less trouble. They obeyed. Put water in the pot. And when they were done, Master, we are done. Take from it and serve the people. It is the same God today. In the sermon talking, Brother Abraham told us, he said, this message. Oh, my, I pray this doesn't floor anyone this evening. It's not my intention, but I want to drive a point home. He said, this message is Christ.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
This message is Christ today.
Amen.
I will say it again. This message is Christ today.
Amen.
If you say amen to that, then why do you doubt it?
Amen.
When you doubt it, you are doubting Christ.
That's it. Amen. Praise God.
Oh,
hallelujah. Amen.
The new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
Not you joined the church or you shook hands. Or you did something different, or you said a creed, or you promised to live by the code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, the message. He is the word that's revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it may be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never have your eyes opened to a true spiritual revelation of the word. You can find that in Laodicean Church Age. I want you to go back and check if these things are so. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never have your eyes opened to the true spiritual revelation of the word. A man without the spirit is blind to God and his truth. The new birth, a Christian's faith, is based solidly upon rest.
Amen.
A born-again Christian is not tossed about. A born-again Christian, his aim is not trying to please a man.
Amen.
A born-again Christian, his aim is to please Christ.
Amen.
He doesn't run from place to place or fuse and foam and worry about things. A Christian rests.
Amen.
It's all over.
Amen.
It's all finished for the believer at Calvary.
Amen.
Sicknesses, trials, disappointments, all those may come. But the Christian is at rest knowing this, that God is able to keep that which he has promised.
Amen.
Knowing that no matter what the thing is or how it looks, there's neither sickness, sorrow, death, starvation, or anything that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
A Christian is at rest.
Amen.
That is the new birth.
Amen.
That is our Sabbath.
Amen.
Not Saturday.
Amen.
Not Sunday.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is our Sabbath.
Amen.
Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
That is Jesus' promise to us. Let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. One can only receive the new birth if their life is expressing the present truth.
Amen.
Which is the word message of the hour that's allotted by God for the day in which we live in.
Amen.
Jesus said that the evidence of the new birth is when the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Revealed for your day.
Amen.
And reveals what will come to pass in your age.
Amen.
If you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet and you want to receive him into your life, I encourage you to follow Peter's instruction.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And do as those in the house of Cornelius in house Acts 10. Hear the word. Hear the word. Believe the word. Receive the word into your heart. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion. Rest assured that the Holy Spirit will come upon your head if you will believe all the word and follow him to live his life through you.
Amen.
So you see, a victorious Christian life is not what you live by yourself. A victorious Christian life is Christ living that life through you.
Amen.
Wait till that satisfaction comes.
Amen.
The satisfaction portion of the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes in. When these joy bells of shouting and speaking in tongues and dancing in the Spirit will come, you won't have to do it by the music.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Amen.
The joy you have is not by the music. You will do it when you are going down the road in your car.
Amen.
You will do it when you are sweeping the floor.
You
will do it when you are driving the nails in the wall with your carpenter walk. Whatever you are, that joy unspeakable, full of glory. What is the promised land for the Christians today? America? So many people think America is the highlight. Now, the promised land for the Christians today, so the promise unto you and to your children, to them that are far off, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Hold fast to that which is good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to these people. And this is the rest, the Sabbath land that I said that they should enter into. And for all this, they would not hear, but they wagged their heads and walked away and wouldn't hear it. So our rest today is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Sabbath is the Holy Ghost. So brothers and sisters, don't you relent until you are in Christ. Amen. It's not just enough to be a message believer. Let me say this. Many message believers will be in hell. Many preachers will be in hell. But no Christian will be in hell. What makes you a Christian? The Holy Ghost in your soul. Not church going. Not to own a Bible. You see, I'm stressing these things so that we prick our conscience. So that you begin to set yourself, where am I? Amen. Give me a few minutes. In relation to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible forewarns of the coming of false Christs, false prophets, which are to deceive the very elect of God, if it were possible. They will try to impersonate the gift of the Holy Spirit to sway away people into believing that they are genuinely called. Just as Jannes and Jambres impersonated Moses by producing snakes in the sight of Pharaoh. So you see, the true bride of Christ, we are not just looking for miracles. Are you getting me? We are not just looking for miracles. Miracles is good, but that's not what we are looking at. Amen. Jannes and Jambres, they produce snakes, just as Moses did in front of Pharaoh. Those people will also be like Balaam, who will have access to signs and visions, yet their folly will be made manifest. This kind of people will seek after fame, popularity, and money, thereby making the word of God a commodity. Truly, they are called false anointed ones in this last day. When Moses went down into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel with only a stick in his hand for vindication, with the God of heaven behind him, he performed a miracle. Are you getting me? Even with that, there come impersonators behind him doing the same thing he did. Church, if you are following me, raise your hand up. God bless you. Moses was sent to Egypt by God with a stick in his hand. He got that he performed the miracle. Remember, sent by God. Even with that, there were impersonators that came on the scene and did the same thing that Moses did. Now, they came second after he did it first. They came second after he did it first. You cannot have a fake dollar if there is no original dollar. Amen. Then they came around because they were copying after what he did, impersonating the original. We find that now you say, well, that was in the days of Moses. But the same scripture tells us that they will come again in the last days. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will this man of reprobate mind concerning the truth, impersonations, all kinds of things to upset the people. Now remember, I've always told you that there are three classes of people. There are three races of people. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Three classes of people. The believer, the make-believer, and the unbeliever. It's always been, always will be. There was a Moses, the believer. There was a Jannes and Jambres, the unbeliever. There was a Balaam, Moses, always. There are three classes of people. And when the prophet preached that sermon, right in Bram Tabernacle, he said those three classes are sitting right here in front of me. And he went and said they are in every gathering. So if we take the word of the prophet to be the truth, those three classes are here this evening. But remember, it's an individual race. You can deceive everybody. You can deceive yourself. Listen. Now remember the unbeliever. The denominational church don't believe in any science at all. Cold, former, starchy. The church in the world. The denomination. The make-believer is that shock. That's the guy that makes believe. And then there is a real believer that truly believes. The prophet said that when the believer and the make-believer come together, there is always a clash. What is the cause of the clash? Because of the same word that they owe dear. Are you following me? The make-believer has his ways around the world. But the real believer, is that word or nothing? Amen. Are you getting me? Amen. Is that word or nothing? Amen. And then they go about tagging the real believer names. You may say, how can this be? With the anointed ones, what were they? Christ. Anointed Christ. False prophets, anointed ones, but false prophets. Jesus said that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now, someone might try to say to me, do you believe that the anointing on those people means is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? He said, yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they are false. I hope this is not too deep for you, church. Amen. The genuine Holy Ghost upon a person, and yet they are false. Now listen close. See what he said. They shall show signs and wonders in so much that it will deceive the very elected if possible. It will be so close. And they are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. But thank God that the elect cannot be deceived. The elect know where he or she is standing. The elect is not moved by what people say. The elect is moved only by what God says. Oh my. Listen. It said here, thou hast tried them that say the apostles, and I found them liars. I'm closing, church. I'm about to close. See your eyes are, everybody's trying to tire. Don't worry. I'm about to close. So, he said, that's a blunt statement. Thou hast tried them that call themselves apostles. Isn't that presumptuous? What right has the people to try them who call themselves apostles? And how do they try them? You say, I love this here. Say in Galatians 1:8, Brother Paul said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. It was the apostles who brought the original word to the people. That original word could not change.
Amen.
I'm about to close. That's why I'm taking it slow. It was the apostles who brought the original word to the people. That original word could not change. Listen, church. Not even a dot or dash of it. Is that serious? Not even a dot or dash of it. When the serpent met Eve, the serpent didn't come visiting Eve with a Quran in his hand. The serpent came with the word for the day. The same word that they were given is what the serpent brought. But there was a little word that was injected into that word. And Brother Abraham explained to us, those three-letter words causes the death today, causes the sicknesses today, causes the killings we have today. The apostles brought the original word to the people. That original word could not change. Not even a dot or dash of it. Paul knew it was God who had spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation. That was Brother Paul in the Bible. And here comes the same God, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. That same God comes in our generation through William Branham, and he says, say what I say. In the day of judgment, I, not you, not you. Why do you have compassion on the word? Why do you have compassion on it? He says, say what I say. In the day of judgment, I will answer for it. Even if I come to try to give a second revelation, try to make a one little change in what I gave originally, let me be accursed. You see, Paul knew that first revelation was correct. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul knew that first revelation was correct.
Amen.
The message the prophet brought is correct.
Amen.
There is no problem with the message. The message is pure. Oh, now let me now ask you a question. We see the economy of our country today. Who told us about it? The prophet. He told us and said the social security is gone. They are living on borrowed money. You know when he said it? Yes, ago.
Amen.
We see it today. Are you getting me?
Amen.
There was a time, America, we never believed that Russia was anything to reckon with. There was a time. But what did the prophet say? Watch the king of the north.
Amen.
Watch Russia.
Amen.
What's happening today? You know, I can bring more for you to know that this message is correct.
Amen.
There is no problem with this message. But the problem is me and you. Sometimes we think we are smarter than God. And that's where we fail. You give me a few more minutes? They needed wine. He said, put water in the pot. What is the coloration of water and wine? permit me to say this. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm trying to make everyone understand. It doesn't make sense. They said wine. He says water. But you know, who is in that place that knows more than him? Amen. Who among you here tonight listen to my voice that knows more than him?
Hallelujah.
He knew they needed wine. He knew he said water. Oh my. You think Isaiah, if he was in his right senses, he would say a virgin shall conceive?
Oh.
Because it doesn't make sense. A virgin shall conceive. You think if he was in his right senses, he would say that? No. But God enveloped him and made him say his word.
Amen.
Now the word has gone forth. It's not Isaiah's business to bring it to pass. It's not his word. It's God's word. God will take care of his word.
Amen.
Our problem is we try to help God. The original word could not change. Not even a dot or dash of it. Paul knew it was God who spoke to him the first time. I say, even if I call with a second revelation, try to make little change in what I said originally, let me be accursed. See, God can't give a first revelation and then a second revelation. If he did, he would be changing his mind. He can give a revelation and add to it, as he said in the garden when he promised the seed of the woman, and then later designated that seed had to come through Abraham, and then later he said it will come through the bloodlines in David. But it was the same revelation. It only gave the people more information to help them receive and understand it. But God's word can't change. God's word cannot change. Those seeds came exactly as revealed. I'm rushing now because of time. I want to try and finish this today. Give me a few minutes. I'm rounding up.
Amen.
We're talking about the new birth, right?
Amen.
Which we said the new birth is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes to live in you to make all these cants get away from you.
You get that?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost comes to take away the cannots.
Amen.
From you.
Amen.
Make women stop cutting their hair. Make them quit wearing shorts and slacks. No excuses. Make them quit tattling. Oh yes, that's what it is for. To make you a holy life. It followed the instruction of the Bible every time. A woman said, it's just too hot. I just have to wear this. It gives me a headache if I let my hair grow. But those are excuses. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, he takes away those excuses. He's there to make it so, to quit lusting after them. It is to quit making you smoke. The Holy Ghost will make you stop smoking. It will make you stop drinking. It will make you not want to be a big shot. It will take that out of you. It will humble you when you do that. That is what the Holy Ghost is for. It's for a holy life. He said, it will make you quit gossiping. It will make you quit playing cards. It will make you quit shooting craps and all those little things that you do around the corner. It will make you husbands live true to your marriage vows.
Amen.
It will make you wives respect and love your husbands.
Amen.
You say, oh, Brother Miriam, we're in America. And so what? It will make you quit carrying on the way you are doing. It will make you stop living untrue to your wife. That's what it will do. It will quit making you want to marry somebody else's wife. That's what it is. It will make you live a holy life. That's what the Holy Ghost is powerful. To set your affections on things above, where God stands, the mind of Christ in you. The Holy Ghost is the mind of Christ in you. You can't help from seeing those things when you look at them, but you can turn your head. The Holy Ghost in you will make you turn your head when you see those naked women on the streets. He said, that's right. It's to make you do that. You say, oh, I can't do it. I just can't do it. Sure, you can't. But the Holy Ghost comes for that purpose.
Amen.
That's what it is to do. He comes to take it out of you, all of them old habits and the things that you are doing. That old backbiting, separating yourself, saying, bless God, I'm Methodist. I won't have nothing to do with those old holy rollers. The Holy Ghost comes to take that out of you. The Holy Ghost will not make you clannish. The Holy Ghost will make you, after service, go out and greet people.
Amen.
Not just stand inside the corridor.
Right.
Go out and check people's hands.
Right.
The Holy Ghost makes us one body.
Amen.
Whether you are white, red, green, whatever your color is, the Holy Ghost in you, you are my brother.
Amen.
I am your brother.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in you will be a pain to a brother. It's a pain to all.
Amen.
I know I'm stepping on toes this evening. But the word of God must be said.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in you will make it. When the Spanish brother is having an occasion, the black brother will be there.
Amen.
The white brother will be there.
Amen.
You may not like me after this, but it's the truth.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is not to cause division among us.
Amen.
It's to bring us together. As one family of Christ. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. I want to go to that little old bunch. The Holy Ghost come to take that as touch out of you. That's what it did. It washes you in the blood. Irons you out. That's what it comes to do. It comes to straighten you up. He said, make the crooked places straight. That's what he comes to do, straighten it up. Make the high places low. Make all the mountains look like they are dancing like rams. And all the leaves are clapping their hands to you. The birds sing different. Joy bells are ringing. There is no excuse. That's what he comes to do. That's the purpose of God sending the Holy Ghost to you so that you could do these things. He said, now, I don't want to hurt you, but I told you here, I'm here with the deepest of sincerity.
Amen.
To keep you from to keep from pinching you once in a while, I'll jump off on a line somewhere, staying with the truth. But staying there and making such a way to pinch you real hard. But I want to tell you something. If the Bible says it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair, and you say you've got the Holy Ghost, and then you cut your hair, I wonder if you have it. Don't get mad. If it does, that still shows there's another mark against you. If the Bible says it's wrong for a woman to put on a garment that pertains to a man, and you wear those little old overalls and slacks out on the road, you grown women, guess a little baby would be all thing that they play with little boys and things. But look, when you are grown women, 15, 16, 18 years old, up to grandma out there on the road, the Bible said it's an abomination in the sight of God for a woman to wear those things. And you wear them anyhow, you say you got the Holy Ghost. I wonder sometime, the Holy Ghost will follow God's word.
Amen.
To the letter.
Amen.
I'm reading from what is the Holy Ghost giving for. A preacher behind the pulpit that I've not got enough grace to preach it, I doubt if he got the Holy Ghost. That's exactly where. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. A Holy Ghost-filled preacher will not try to cut corners. A Holy Ghost-filled preacher, his aim is not always to try to please the people. Saul tried to please the people, he got in trouble. to my fellow preachers here this evening, remember, none of these people gave you that gift. You are not accountable to none of these people. God gave you that gift, and you are accountable to God what you do with that gift. The Holy Ghost gives unction to the preacher. It's to give holiness to the group. It's to set the church in order. The Holy Ghost does that. It's to bring a unity of spirit. It's to unite us together with power. It's to unite us together with love, brotherly love. I don't care if you are Baptist. I don't care if you are Methodist. I don't care if you are Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever you are. If we've all been by one spirit, baptized into one body, and become members of the body of Jesus Christ, there is nothing present, nothing future, hunger, starvation, nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ that is in Christ, because we are born of his spirit. Washed in his blood. Amen. We are a new creature. And that's what God came to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the word all the way.
Amen. Here you see, brothers and sisters, it's more than just saying, I believe the message. There are expectations. It's not just to be comfortable. To say, oh, I'm a message believer. Oh, I wear long skirts. Oh, I know how to say shalom. Or God bless you. It's more than that. The Holy Ghost is alive. A life that only Christ can live through you. Amen. That is why until you hit that spot, never rest. Amen. Don't be comfortable just being a church goer. Don't be comfortable just saying, oh, I believe the message. You see, it will not make it. Our promise is not in justification. Our promise is not in sanctification. Our promise is in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the holiest of holies.
Amen.
When you hit that point, the devil is sealed out. No, the devil will try, but he can never overcome. Because why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Then you're not trying to please man. You're trying to please God. Then you are not trying to bend the word to suit you. You are trying to obey the word.
Hallelujah.
The way it said.
Amen.
You cannot bring God to your level. Awesome. You've got to pray, say, God, help me.
Amen.
To be what you want me to be.
Amen.
You cannot just toss around the message. No, remember, the message is Christ.
Amen.
It's not just enough to say, I am in the message, but let the message be in you.
Amen.
When that happens, Ephesians 4:30 comes to pass, where you are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Amen. Amen.
Then you become a son of God.
Amen.
You become a daughter of God.
Amen.
Then when you go out, you are confident.
Amen.
You know, when the enemy comes to bring temptations, you have an anchor. It's not you holding yourself.
Amen.
It's the anchor holding you.
Amen.
It's not just because you are. It's not pride. It's what Christ has done for you. It's by the grace of God that Christ has done that for you. So you walk, you are free. You say amen to the word. You obey the word. You respect the word. You live the word. You become a moving Bible. You become, people see Christ in you. As husband and wife, you love each other. You stay in harmony. When problem come, you hold each other's hand and pray the devil out of your house. Not calling 911 into your house.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There is power.
Amen.
Church, we should stop behaving as if our God is dead. We should stop behaving as if we are just like some denominations. You know, they just go to church and say something. This is life.
Amen.
There is power in Christ.
Amen.
To make you live victorious.
Amen.
There is power in Christ to make what man think impossible possible.
Hallelujah.
There is power in Christ. Oh my, what? Oh, we need to realize who we are.
Praise.
We need to carry ourselves as children of the King.
We need to stop living underprivileged lives. We need, I pray God will reveal this to us tonight. For us to know that there is no reason. Christ did not die in vain. He didn't die in vain. He bought us with the precious blood. And he said, it is finished. What are you doing with that word? What stage are you on in this progression of being a Christian? If you are still in the stage of justification, I plead with you this evening, don't stop there. Don't stop there. If you are still in sanctification, don't stop there. The promise is on. Amen. The infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost comes, you know, let me say this before we close. This is the time you can get the Holy Ghost without sensation. So don't think when the Holy Ghost comes, it's going to turn your house upside down. It may be that for you. It may be that for you. But you can get the Holy Ghost without sensation. God can fill you with the Spirit anywhere. It's just a prepared heart. It can be in song service.
Amen.
It can be during song service when you are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Not when you are.
Amen.
You don't want to sing. You think you are doing God a service, a favor by singing?
No, sir.
Is that what you think? If I don't sing, God is not going to get praise anyway. If you refuse to sing, it will cause the rocks to open their mouth and worship Him.
Amen. Amen.
I wish I have more time. But time is gone. God can fill you with the Spirit right in the song service.
Amen.
It can be during the preaching.
Yes.
You just need to be, you need to be consecrated and ready and desire it. You have to desire it.
Amen.
You don't just sit down and say, okay, that's it. No. You have to desire it. Say, Lord, I want you to fill me.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is what entitles you to come to the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Oh. The amen are dying down?
Amen.
It's the truth.
Amen.
The Lord's Supper is for those that have lived victorious Christian life. Not a life that you try to live by yourself. Not a life that you are trying because you know next Sunday's communion. Okay, you know, I want to be. Now, Christianity is not a life you force yourself to live.
Amen.
It's a life that Christ lives through you.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, don't you relent till you get to that level.
Amen.
Don't you relent till that Spirit of God comes flowing inside of you. When you get to that level, then the scripture is fulfilled in your life.
Amen.
Then you can then begin to grow like a Christian. Before you can grow, you have to be born first.
Amen.
Shall we rise on our feet?
Amen.
I'm sorry I took your time. I just didn't want to come back to that subject. I want to make sure that is set to it once and for all. As we bow our heads, how many of us this evening want to say, Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, behold the hands of your children. From the pulpit down to the pews, we have our hands lifted up unto you. You know the needs behind these hands. Heavenly Father, we present these needs unto you. We pray, Lord Jesus, may you come down. As your word has gone forth, may it hit that right spot in our hearts. May it bring us to realization that we want to be what you want us to be. Every unbelief, every doubt, every uncertainty in our life, we bring under the blood. May you have mercy upon us, O God. May you purge us, Heavenly Father. May you fill us all with your Spirit. We want to come to that full stature of a perfect man. Where we'll become worthy ambassadors of your kingdom.
Yes.
Forgive our shortcomings,
yes.
Our failures,
yes.
Our inabilities.
Yes.
Pray, Heavenly Father, may you raise us up as your children.
Yes.
And your word that we've heard tonight, we have a place in our hearts.
Yes.
That whenever the enemy shall come in like a flood, you will raise a standard against the devil.
Amen.
our greatest heart desire, oh God, is that when that role is called up yonder, that none of us will be wanting. All that it takes for us to get to that spot, may you endow us with the same.
Yes.
Grant it, Heavenly Father. By the time we leave this building, may you go with us, oh God.
Amen.
May you bring us back in our numbers again on Sunday. Yes. As we commit our life unto your hands.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want us to sing that song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. I don't have the hymn book here with me. "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Thank you. What number is it at? 168. I can hear my Savior calling. 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 Thy cross, follow me. Really.
Follow where He leads.
go with thee, oh, with thee, oh, all the way.
Is that our heart desire tonight?
Amen.
That where he leads me, I will follow.
Amen.
That I will follow all the way.
Amen.
I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to question. But wherever he leads me, I will follow. May that be our heart desire. And my sincere prayer for you tonight is that God grants that heart desire for us.
Amen.
That where he leads us, we will follow. And all the way. Oh, all the way. May the Lord bless you. You can be dismissed. Oh, yeah, he leads.